Father, how grateful we are to be your sons and daughters, those of us who have surrendered our will for your will, given our lives for the life that you've died for each of us. And so, God, as we come this particular Sunday and as we remember that triumphal entry, that time when the Messiah entered Jerusalem, God, I pray that it would prepare our hearts as we come to Resurrection Sunday next week. I pray that throughout the week, Lord, that you would continually remind us of your plan for our lives, of your plan of salvation, of your plan of the life that we live. And so as we come to this area of text, very familiar for many of us, God, let it just continue to reassure us that you're in control, that there's nothing that escapes your attention, and that our lives are in your hands. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters here this morning. Pray blessings upon them. Pray, God, that they would continually seek you, listen to your voice, listen to your word, and be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word declares that apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. But in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. And so I pray that you would prepare us today for the days ahead. Bless this time. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, today's Palm Sunday. It's the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. It's the Sunday where Jesus entered into Jerusalem in that triumphal entry. And so as we think about Palm Sunday, we think about Jesus fulfilling a lot of prophecy. And that's why I brought us to Matthew, because Matthew does a lot of connecting the dots of what the Bible in the Old Testament said about what's going to happen in the New Testament. As Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, it was predicted to the very day that he would approach Jerusalem. And as I say it, and I think about it in my life too, you know, they should have been waiting for the Messiah. They should have been anticipating his return or his presence on this particular Sunday. But it's so convicting, isn't it? Because there's a lot of things we as believers know that are going to happen, and yet we still miss those things. And so as we look at this story and we remember that the branches that were laid before Jesus, you know, that's significance. Those palm branches were a symbol of God's goodness and God's victory, his goodness to love us even though we're sinful men and women, and our victory that we have over sin because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. In the book of Revelation, during the tribulation period, it says in Revelation 7, 9, it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So as Jesus enters that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, palm branches are laid. And in Revelation, after the tribulation period, after the tribulation saints that make it through that time, there's amazing number of believers that come out of the tribulation and their worship and praise to God. It should be a reminder to us that there's opportunities in our lives to worship and praise our God for what's happening in our lives today. To be able to shout that salvation belongs to our God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that salvation was on the shoulders of God and not me. That if I had to make my way to heaven, boy, that would be a struggle. It would be very difficult to live the perfect life, to do everything that God required. But no, Jesus did that, the perfect one. And so with them, we can praise the Lord Jesus for that salvation that belongs to God. Matthew says that the king is coming on a donkey, just as it was fulfilled. We'll see that in a moment. And it's a reference here to Zechariah 9:9. And it's a verse I want to read out. Actually, I have it here. Yeah, there it is. Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. I want to remind all of us, our King's coming. He's coming back for us. We all want him to come back soon. We all want him to come back quickly and bring us home. But we have to live today with the mindset that he is coming back for us. And to know that he's coming is a reminder that we can trust in God's plan. No matter what happens in this life that we live, when we get there, all's going to be better. All's going to be better. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, is the fact that you can trust in his plan. Are you this morning trusting in God's plan for your life? Because I think sometimes as believers, we just kind of go through the motions. We just get caught in that routine, and we just, every day, the same thing. No, there's a plan that God has for your life. Mom and dad, God has a plan for you, for your kids. And for our children, God has a plan for their lives in the future. And so let's look at it. Again, we're in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 1, and it starts out, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jesus, as he approaches Jerusalem, tells two of his disciples to go and to receive this donkey and this colt. And if you've ever read these, which I'm sure many of us have, you know, Jesus had prepared these animals for his triumphal entry. So he knew exactly that when his disciples went to receive these animals, that there would be that question, "Why are you taking my donkey?" And Jesus said, "Listen, you just tell them the Lord has need of them. The Lord has need of them." And it's always been so, I don't know, impressive upon me that these men, these disciples, were obedient to God's voice, obedient to God's instructions. And I think when it comes to trusting in God's plan, number one, you have to go where he tells you. You have to go where he tells you. And we don't always go where he wants or where we want to go, but we have to go where he wants us to go. And whether that's moving across the country or another place in the world, or it means moving to another town or just going and doing something, there's a call upon all of our lives to go out into this world and make a difference. What has Jesus asked you to do? Where has Jesus asked you to go? And again, it's not always about geography. It's not always about location. It's about being that thing that God wants you to be. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a position. Maybe it's just staying right where you are and fulfilling God's purpose for your life. The great news is he'll help you get there, and he'll help you do and accomplish what he has for you. The question is, what does he want you to do? Listen, for all of us in this room, God wants us to be faithful followers of Jesus. He wants you to be a faithful disciple, right? To talk to your neighbors, to talk to strangers, to interact with people in this world. We all have those opportunities. It was this past Wednesday night at our Bible study, someone looked up on the internet and said, "Looking for a Wednesday night Bible study." And our website came up. And they came and were able to fellowship with us. Listen, there's opportunities for us to mingle with people and talk to people and connect with people in their time of need. I would say that the time we're living in, even today, there's a lot of people around us that are hurting because of what's happened in Nashville, the loss of life. And yes, we may be hurting as well, but our hope and our confidence is in God, right? Our hope and our confidence is that he's going to help us get through this season, and he's going to help us learn from it. We have an opportunity to share the love of God with those that are hurting, that are asking questions. I've always thought that in this life, we're always asking questions. We're always wondering why. Sometimes God gives us the answer, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he just says, trust me. It's trusting in God in these times. Again, verse 2, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey and a colt tied with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord has need of them. I have always, as I've shared many Palm Sunday messages, focused on this interesting situation that Jesus has need of something. To think that God needs anything. But there is a sense that God needs us to be available for him. And so Jesus says, just tell him the Lord has need of it. And I love the fact that God has need for you and for me to be involved in his work, to truly be a participant in the things that God is doing. It is so rewarding, isn't it? To know that you're helping God, helping further the message of the gospel, help minister to people in your life. Maybe it's even a spouse. Maybe it's even someone, family member. That ability to be there for the Lord because he has need. Think about the things that Jesus needed. You know, he needed a tomb to rise from. He needed loaves and fish to start to bless the feeding of the 5,000 or even the 4,000. He needed these things not because he was in need, but he wanted us to be part of what he was doing. So to think of us as something that God needs, man, what a privilege that is. I mean, we're nobody special, but he wants us to participate in what he's doing. And maybe he needs you. Think about your life. Are you available to God when he needs you? You know, none of us want to miss an opportunity, do we? When we're driving down the road, see somebody off the side of the road, are we too busy to pull over and help? When somebody's, you know, taking their groceries out into the parking lot, are we too busy to lend a hand for someone maybe struggling? Again, there's these opportunities around us, but we have to make ourselves available, that we're not just living this life with blinders on, doing our own thing. Be available to God, because he wants to use you. And we see for our first time in verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. This is our Zechariah 9:9 verse. And again, Matthew is always about connecting the dots back to the Old Testament, that Jesus fulfilled the word. And Jesus is the word. So it was easy for him to fulfill these things because he spoke them. He created them. He spoke them into the Old Testament. And again, predicted his coming on the donkey. And in verse 6, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. There was no hesitation. They immediately went. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who were before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I can't wait to sing this. I mean, to think we can praise our God even now in what he's already done and what he's yet to do. But this was a natural flow of praise from their hearts. And to think that that can be something that can just happen. I mean, have you ever been going through your day? Maybe you're at the workplace, maybe you're at home, and then all of a sudden you just want to praise the Lord. Just want to say, thank you, Lord. I mean, yesterday was one of those days where you're like, Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for the blessing that it is. And again, being mindful of God's involvement in your life, we can go through the motions of life and leave God out, or we can stop and smell the proverbial roses of life and go, God, you're so good. And to be able to just praise him in that. See, not only are we to go where he tells us, number two, we're to obey what he instructs us. We're to obey what he instructs us, and the disciples immediately went. And I like to think they didn't argue with the Lord, they just went and did it. And to witness the power and the fulfillment of God's word for the disciples, to find it just as he was. God's a God of his word, right? And so if he tells you something, you can be assured that that's going to happen that way. You can trust him, again, with his plan. And so here we see the disciples do exactly what he tells them. Obedience is so, so important. And to think how encouraging it must have been for those disciples. I like to put myself in that picture, in that place, and to think, wow, it happened exactly as Jesus said. Doesn't it increase your faith in God when his word comes true? Doesn't it increase your faith in God when he tells you something and that happens? How many of us have heard the voice of God tell us something, speak something to us, and then it comes to pass? Or hear about others who were in their devotion, and all of a sudden they're reading, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, spoke something, and then later on that day it happened. Because God prepares us. God knows what you need, and God knows what others need, and so we need to be open to that. This word Hosanna basically means save now. You know, and we read this story and all this praise and the multitudes crying out to God, Son of David, who blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. And there's all this adoration for God. But one thing we may not know or don't understand when we read this is they were expecting the Messiah to come and overthrow Rome. They were expecting the Messiah to save them from the burdens of life in the situation that they were in. So they, yes, were praising God. Oh, praise God, the Messiah's come, and we're going to finally be delivered. But we know the final story, don't we? That later on, a week later, they're saying, crucify him, because he didn't come in the way that they wanted him to come. We have to be very careful that when God doesn't do things the way we want him to do it, that we're okay with his plan. His plan is always better than ours. Because the same thing can happen today when we don't get what we want, or when the world out there, you know, maybe accepts Jesus. Someone gives their life to Christ and they expect everything to change, their finances to change, their relationships to change, and then that doesn't happen, and then their faith wanes. We have to be very careful that we stay in that place that God, it's your will that needs to get done, not mine. It's your will, Lord, that we want to accomplish. Because we all know that when God's will is done, when we look back, we can see the wisdom of the Lord. We can see the perfection of his plan in our lives. No, these, in a week from now, will be saying, crucify, crucify. And this reminds me that if God never did one more thing for me in my life, it would still be enough what he's already done for me. Just giving me salvation, giving you and I this hope that one day we're going to be with him. That nothing we can do that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. There's no mistake you can make. There's no fault that you can produce that's going to keep you from being loved by God. And so we have that hope, and so it's enough. I don't want God to be a genie for me. Like, okay, God, this is what I need you to do for me today. Trust me, there's things I want God to do for me that doesn't seem like he's doing them sometimes, but I trust him. I trust him. And of course, right now, the biggest thing for this church is our sprinklers, fire sprinkler system. And it's taken longer than I wanted it to. Probably taken longer than a lot of us wanted to. But something God has been telling me over the last couple weeks is like, Rob, I'm delaying this process. I'm the one that's slowing it down. I'm the one that's giving a few. I'm confident that God is at work, even though it's not happening the way I want it. And I, you know, people ask me, so how's things going to the church? And boy, do I want to lie. They're great. Praise the Lord. But it's true. We can still praise the Lord in the midst of it. God's still doing great things. What the enemy wants to happen is this to be a distraction for us. You know what I want? I want to see God continue to work in it, and I believe he continues to work in it. So watch for those distractions in your life to get your focus off of the goodness of God. And then you think, well, God must be mad at me because he's not giving me what I want. No, no. God saved you. And that's more than enough. Is it not? Is it not more than enough? Listen, we can't give up. God's at work. Don't ever give up just because things get hard, because God doesn't give up on you. That's a good reminder this morning, that God doesn't give up on you. In verse 10, it says, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude says, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" I just find it interesting that they're like, "Who is this?" What a spectacle Jesus must have been as he was coming in Jerusalem. I think it's Luke's gospel that actually brings to attention that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he wept. And oftentimes I believe that weeping is because people were not expecting him to come as the Messiah. They weren't expecting him to show up. But here we see they're questioning, "Who is this? Who is this God?" And it reminded me of when we think about our Savior, do we think about what's yet to come for our lives? Do we think about he lived a perfect life, he died for our sins, he's in heaven preparing a place for us, and we're yet to be there? And it made me begin to think about heaven. Because, and I think we've talked about this over the last few months, about the hope of heaven that we have as believers. That heaven is a place that we're going to get to be at. And it reminded me of this verse in Luke that says this: "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it." I guess I am going to share this verse. "Saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes.'" Because they were not expecting the Messiah, because they were not anticipating his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he weeps over them and says, "If you had known, if you had known." And again, it makes me think about, as believers, do we know our Savior? Do we know him personally? Don't know about him. Do we know him? Do we know his character? Do we know his countenance? Do we embrace him as the true Messiah? Let us not be those ones that don't know, because people want to know. And so if we're his kids, we're the ones that have to communicate that to others and to let them know that heaven is a reality. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9. This is what I was alluding to a moment ago. It says, "But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." How many times have I read this verse and never noticed, nor ear heard? It's never, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, which I'm sure alludes to the fact that someone tell you about it. But I wonder if heaven's going to be this place, not only that we are going to be, it's going to be beautiful to behold visually, but I think just to be able to hear the glory of God, to hear the praises of the Lord, it's going to be so much more than we can ever think or imagine, or even hear. When you hear a good song, doesn't it do something to your soul? I think God's not only going to minister to us visually, he's going to minister to us audibly. You know, hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," man, can't wait to hear those words. Heaven is going to be so much more than we could think, see, imagine, or even hear. The most amazing melody here on earth pales in comparison to what it's going to be like when we're praising together in heaven, hearing each other's words. I believe God's going to do an anointing on all of our voices, and we're all going to sound like angels. And I can't wait for that day. It's going to be amazing. So we go to where he tells us. We obey what he instructs us. The third thing in verse 11, we read this. verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, they were angry. And he said, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes." Jesus understood exactly the implications of what these children and these people were saying about him. Hosanna to the Son of David. They were proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. They were proclaiming Jesus as God. And the religious were indignant. They were angry because anyone who wasn't God, if someone praised them or called them the Son of David, that's blasphemy. But Jesus basically says, "Yes, I hear what they're saying, and I accept their praise. I accept their adoration. I accept what they're proclaiming because I am God." And the fact that right after this triumphal entry that Jesus enters into this temple, he enters into God's house, and he sees what's happening on the Temple Mount. What's happening here is they had transformed court of the Gentiles into a marketplace. As people traveled from all over, Jews traveled from all over Israel to come to Jerusalem to worship God. And instead of carrying an animal or bringing an animal on the long journey, they would bring money. It's a lot easier to carry money than an animal. And then they would buy an animal there so they could sacrifice. And it started out as a good thing to provide for people's needs. But like everything in human systems, what starts out as a good thing turns into typically a bad thing because it became a money-making situation. And what Jesus was most indignant about is that in the court of the Gentiles, where Gentiles could come to worship God, they had transformed it into a marketplace so that when a Gentile came, they were unable to freely worship God. And that's what upset Jesus even more, because it was a hindrance for people to come and worship the Lord. May nothing we do or say or whatever be a hindrance for someone to come to God. Even if it seems like a good thing, let's ask ourselves, is my attitude, is my reaction to things in the world? You know, there's a lot of controversy, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of arguing on social media. There's a lot of things that go on that I think can be more of a distraction than a help. I'm not saying don't stand up for our faith. I think it's so important to stand up for what we believe and to live out your convictions. But be careful that it doesn't damage fruit. Be careful that we do it with a heart of love. Because if we're coming into God's house, we should come in with an attitude of prayer. This place is a place where prayer happens because it's God's house. But here's the great news. This isn't the only place to pray. For Jerusalem, that was the place they would come. "My house shall be a house of prayer," right? That's what Jesus says. And you've turned it into a den of thieves, broke his heart because it was not being used for what it was supposed to be used for. Prayer is so important. We go where he tells us. We obey what he instructs us. And we pray as he's shown us. We have to do it the right way. We have to do it with the right heart. And I love the fact that we can pray anywhere we are, right? Because we know we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to God at any time, in your car, in your home, when you wake up in the morning. You don't have to get out of your bed and get down on your knees. You can do that if you want. You can just wake up and start praying to God wherever you want. The question is, are we praying? If we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, We can be the house of, we can be a house of prayer. We can be a people of prayer. We cannot overemphasize the importance of praying to God. And we all know praying to God isn't just asking God for a list of things to do. I think sometimes we just need to pray to God and say, thank you for what you've already done. I'm not going to ask you for anything, Lord, because you've been so good to me. But if we're praying, then we are going to be good witnesses for the Lord. That's where I want you to go, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Again, a very familiar area of scripture, but a good reminder. Hebrews 10, we're going to pick up in verse 19. Especially important as we now are getting ready to enter into a time of communion. But look at Hebrews 10, 19 says this, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What's the day? The return of Christ. The second coming of Christ, when he brings us home and he establishes his kingdom. So what I want us to see here in Hebrews is the fact that because of what Jesus has done, we can enter into the holiest place, where the presence of God is. He's removed the veil. He's removed the separation. We have full access to God. So our prayers shouldn't be weak. They shouldn't be without power. They should be with confidence and assurance that because of what Jesus has done, I can boldly ask. Are your prayers bold prayers? Sometimes I think my prayers can be limited based on, I don't know, my abilities. God, this might be too much for you to do. No, it's not. God can do anything, so why not ask? I mean, isn't it in James that says, we don't have because we don't ask? Because you ask amiss, you're not asking properly. So in our time of communion, be bold in our time. As we remember what Jesus has done, we can boldly say, God, you are faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have a plan for my life, and God, I want that plan to be fulfilled. So I want to go where you tell me. I want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, that truly you would fill us with the Spirit and guide and direct us. Even as I'm going about my day, Lord, you have the authority to redirect my path and to pray these bold prayers and to trust that if we do ask something that God doesn't want us to have, if our hearts are right, we're gonna hear God say no. We don't like to hear no, do we? We want yes and amens, right? But sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. Sometimes God says yes. We have to be sensitive to God. And the more we pray, the more we can understand the heart of God. And so come to the Lord. Now listen, the Bible says we can hinder the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, the lifestyles that we live. Sometimes that does hinder our prayers. And if it is the case, then we ask God to what? Forgive us. We repent towards God and say we're going to change our direction. And once we've repented, now we can freely say, Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. I want your plan to be fulfilled. See, that place that we go with the Lord to pray, doesn't matter where. You can pray here. You can pray at home, you can pray in your car, you can pray at your workplace. But wherever that is, be a person of prayer. George Mueller said this, one of my favorite men. Never give up praying until the answer comes. I've known people to pray for something for years. And even though it took a long time, they never wavered in their trust to God. They never wavered in their prayers to the Lord. So you're praying, you're not getting your answer, but I believe the answer's coming. So don't give up. God's faithful, you also be faithful. God has a plan for your life. And as we go back, one last thing here in Matthew chapter 21. How far did we get? I stopped in the middle of 16. And said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you not read, which was an insult to these men, because they're supposed to know the word. So when he says, have you not read, means you don't know the Bible. You don't know the scriptures. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. The last thing is praise. Go where he tells you. Obey what he instructs you. Pray as he's shown you, and praise him at every opportunity. Let me tell you this. He's worthy of our praise, whether he answers our prayers or not. And I think when you have the right heart and right attitude towards God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. I mean, that's being the kind of a Job thing, right? We praise him even in the midst of difficulties. He's still worthy to be praised. So as we enter into this time of communion, I want us to think about our lives, the plan that God has for us, and are we on that path? Are we being obedient to go where he tells us? Are we being obedient to the things that he does instruct us? And are we praying and praising him? Let's hold those elements in our hands and let us consider those things. And then, again, enter into the presence of the Lord. This is that time. We're in the house of God. God's house shall be a house of prayer, a place where we can come to God and boldly say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up this week. You know what he does? He's gracious. He's right there. And as you hold those elements, that's him reminding you that he paid the price for every sin you and I will ever commit. So let's pray and get our hearts right so we can spend that time with him. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, how grateful we are to be reminded of this amazing event written in the Word of God, the triumphal entry of the Son of David, the Messiah, Jesus our Savior. Lord, Matthew continually tells us that you fulfilled what was written. And so for those things in the Bible that have yet to come to pass, we can trust that you are faithful to your word and that all of these things will be fulfilled. That one day you will come back for us. That one day we will be in heaven with you, singing and praising with all the angels. But until that time, God, help us to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, knowing we don't live perfect lives, knowing we will make mistakes. But we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that brings conviction to our sin. And Lord, help us as the body of believers to sharpen one another, to encourage and correct and instruct one another. Help us in this world, Lord, to shine brightly for you. God, you don't leave us here alone on our own. You're here with us. Your presence is felt. And so, God, I pray for all of us here today. Whatever it is, there's always something that we're dealing with, something that we're praying for, something that we have need of in our lives. God, you give those good gifts, the perfect gifts. So God, pour out your love upon us, that we would be the bride of Christ that's living for you, bringing and drawing others into your family. We love you, Lord. As we come to this time of communion, we pray, Lord, that this would be a time spent with you. Each and every one of us, our hearts open before you. Shine your love into our hearts. Reveal things in our lives, Lord, that we need to give over to you. I pray for each and every person here. Bless them now, God, in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.